Thank you, Don. Good morning, brothers and sisters. As always, I greet you in the name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For it is in his name that I come to you this morning, and I appreciate the songs that we have sung, that I think that they will pretty much direct us in the attitude that we need to fight the warfare of life that is before us. You know, I am often amazed at the thoughts that come to my mind and when I prepare for a sermon and where it leads me. It doesn't always go where I think I'm going when I open my book, but I kind of let them lead me through it. This morning I would like to read as a scripture to start us off the sixth chapter of Romans. Probably most of you know what that is. It's one we've read many times. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God, the doctrines of baptism, of the laying on of hands, and the resurrection of dead, and of eternal judgment. This will we do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened to have tasted the heavenly gift, and have made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to be renewed again unto repentance, seeing they have crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth, which drinketh in the rain and cometh oft upon us, it bringeth forth herbs, meat, for them by whom it is dressed and received a blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we have persuaded better things of you and things that accompany the salvation though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your works and your labors of love, which you have showed toward his name, and you have ministered unto the saints and do minister. It tells us to leave the principles of the doctrine. Most of us, all of the adults here, have taken upon us the name of Christ through baptism. It says to leave those things and go on to perfection. Have I heard it said that that's impossible? We cannot be perfect because we are human. I took the opportunity to go to Strong's to look up the word perfection, and it has several meanings. Sure, it means without imperfections, without spot or blemish, but the word that was used here is translated into, I can't even pronounce it. Telotres. It's to consummate, finisher, to accomplish, or to complete. Go on to the end. Don't stop here. Finish it. If we will go to the second book of Nephi and the 13th chapter, and starting with the 18th verse. But behold, my brethren, thus came the voice of the Son of Man unto me, saying, after ye repented of your sins and witnessed unto the Father that you're willing to keep my commandments, by baptism of water and have received the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost and can speak with the tongues of with new tongues, yea, even the tongues of angels. And after this, should you deny me, it would have been better for you that you had not known me. And I heard a voice from heaven, from the Father, saying, yea, the words of my beloved are faithful and true. And he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And how, my beloved brethren, I know by this, that unless a man shall endure to the end, in following the examples of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. Wherefore do the things which I have told you, I have seen, told you that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. For this cause they have been shown unto me, that you might know the gate by which you should enter. For the gate by which you should enter is repentance and baptism of water. And then cometh remission of your sins, and by fire, and by the Holy Ghost. And then are you in the straight and narrow path, which leads to eternal life. You have entered into the gate, you have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And you received the Holy Ghost, which witnesseth of the Father and the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that ye may enter in by the way ye should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after you have gotten into the straight and narrow way, I would ask, is all done? Be able to say unto you, nay. For you have not come this far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having perfect brightness of hope and a love of God in all men. Wherefore, if you press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ, and endure to the end, by the whole, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way given under heavens whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only true doctrine of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. And after having said that, we would might turn to the, I believe it's about the 20th chapter of Revelations. That is 19. Yeah, 19th chapter of Revelations. And I heard a voice, and there were a voice, a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thunder, and saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith to me, Write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are true sayings of God. And we know about the parable also of the marriage of the Son of the God, that many who were bidden to come wouldn't come, and finally they went out and just commanded all to come in. But when the marriage was prepared and everything was ready, they found a man there without a wedding garment on, and they cast him out. So we know that we must be arrayed in white, clean garments, that we have to keep him clean and spotless. But yet we have to go on to the end. We cannot sit by idly with the fact that we have entered into the gate and say all is done. We have just begun. And it was going back there to the one in Hebrews, it tells there that of a time when if we should fall away after we begin, and deny the Holy Ghost, we can't go back again. We have sealed our doom. The Book of Mormon tells us in, I think it's Alma, that we have to know what we're doing. We have to know that we deny the truth of the gospel and of the Holy Ghost which you have received. Perhaps there's not much difference between the perfection of going on and being without spot or blemish. Not much difference. But nevertheless, the Book of Mormon tells us that we have to go on to the end. And the word that they used was endure or complete our life, not just start it. If we think upon how we can perhaps order our lives, well, let's go first to Matthew, the 19th chapter. We perhaps all know this story of Christ, 19th chapter and the 16th verse. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said to him, Why callest thou me good? For there is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said to him, All these things have I done from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said to him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasures in heaven. Come and follow me. And Jesus, but when the young man had heard this saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto the disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And then when the disciples heard that, they were amazed. Christ did not even consider himself good. So there's only one good. That's his Father in heaven. And so he's called us to a high calling. But he has also given to us the opportunity to repent daily, that we might have those garments white and spotless. Another place, I believe I've got it down here. I think that's Matthew, the 18th chapter, starting at the second verse. And this is a rather long reading, but I want to get it all in its context so that we don't think I'm taking something out of context or putting it where it don't belong. Jesus speaking, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall be humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one of the such little child in my name receiveth me. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believeth in me, is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he would be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, But woe unto that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if my hand or my foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into a life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet and be cast into everlasting fire. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes and cast into the hell fire. Take heed that ye despise none of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do what always behold their face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save them which is lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them go astray, doth he not leave his 99 and goeth into the mountains and seek that which was gone astray? If it so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father, that which is in heaven, that one of these little ones shall perish. Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between him and thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee two more. Then the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. And if she shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that ye shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then came Peter unto him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said to him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but unto 70 times seven. And then he goes on to a parable there, which kind of bears that out. He's asked us to go the last mile. In fact, I think he has pretty much asked us not to be offended. Sometimes we take offense to things that are not meant that way, but we don't forgive. 70 times 7. It says if he asks with real intent. Let us go now to Philippians. Starting with the fourth verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your request be made known to the Lord. And to me, the use of being careful for nothing is not the way I would say it. I would think it would be not be overburdened with things. But he said here, be careful for nothing. And the peace of God which speaketh unto all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus, through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, wherefore, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue in, and there be any praise, think on these things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen me do, and God of peace will be with you. Rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now is the last year, at least your care of me hath flourished again. He's telling us to think on righteous things. In Psalms, it's Proverbs, 23rd chapter. Just the 7th verse. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We're not allowed to ourselves to think, even to think on evil things. It's also written in the maybe it's Matthew, that even to look upon a woman to lust after her is committing adultery in our heart. We have to watch our thinking and our thoughts. I remember back when I was quite young, one of our apostles had a saying. He said, you cannot keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building nests in your hair. No doubt sometimes we might have a thought, but snap it away as quick as possible. Don't let those things stay. Keep our hearts pure. Think upon the things of God. I can't find the scripture I really wanted to use right now. Oh, I didn't mention that a while ago. I read the parable about the, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. He kind of touched on some of those things because he was the young man that had riches, didn't want to sell all that he had and give to the poor and follow Jesus. And that's why he said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And most of us say, well, that is impossible, don't we? I'd heard, and I finally found it in my Bible dictionary, that the gate into a city is called the eye of a needle. And for a camel to go through that gate, they had to get him down on his knees, take the load off his back, and let him crawl through that gate on his knees, then load him back up and go on into the city. He could do it, but it was not easy. And so it is if the young man had sold all that he had, unloaded himself of his burdens, crawled through that gate in humility, he had made it into heaven if he kept the commandments unto the end. No. The Book of Mormon tells us it's not wrong to seek after riches. But if we do, we should seek them to do good to those who have not. Just because we might have rich, or might be rich, or others might be rich, is no reason for us to envy him, because envy is not good. That's one of those things that we shouldn't think about. We should thank God that he has provided whatever he has for whoever he has. And thank him daily for what we have. For we know that he has given it to us. He's given us as custodians over what we have. In the well, 13th chapter of Corinthians, I should have remembered that real good, but, and also in the 7th chapter of Moroni, there are a lot of places in the scriptures that tell us about what we should do and what we should not do. It's not just a bunch of thou shalt nots. It is a guide into what we shall do. You know, some of the people today still think that the Bible is not a commandment. The things are written there. It's just a suggestion. Well, yes, it's a suggestion, all right. But you do this or else. There's something else going to be there. The 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I think it's well if we go back into the 12th chapter and read. Well, the whole 12th chapter is about the body of Christ, which we are part of. And when one part of the body suffers, the whole body is going to suffer pain with it. And he talks about he put first in the church God has set, that's the 28th verse of the 12th chapter, God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, then miracles, then gifts and healings and helps and governments and diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing and do all speak with tongues and to interpret, but covet earnestly the best gift. These are gifts that God has given some. But he says, there's something even better than this that we should seek. 13th verse, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am nothing. No, it doesn't say that. Said, I'm become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And in the 7th chapter of Romans, it says that nothing. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and of all and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to be feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profited me nothing. Charity suffereth long, is kind, and charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. And then we come back to that word think. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whatsoever be prophecy, there shall fail. And whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For if we know in part, we prophesy in part. And if we turn to the 7th chapter of Moroni, starting the 5th verse, behold, he said, a man being evil cannot do that which is good. For he that is, and offer the gift and prayeth unto the Father, except, I think I got sort of the wrong place. Well, God, go ahead and read it. Except he shall do it with real intent, it profiteth nothing. For behold, it is not counted to him for righteousness. For behold, if a man being evil giveth a gift, he doeth grudgingly. Wherefore, it counteth to him the same as though he had retained the gift. Wherefore, he is counted evil before God. And likewise, it is counted evil unto man if he shall pray, and not with real intent of heart, and it profiteth him nothing, for God receiveth none such. Wherefore, a man being evil cannot do that which is good, neither can he receive a good gift. For hold, a bitter fountain cannot bring forth good fruit water, neither can a good fountain bring forth bitter water. Wherefore, a man being a servant of the evil cannot follow Christ. And if he follow Christ, he cannot be a servant of the devil. And that going back down to about the... the 25th verse. And after that he came, men were also saved by faith in his name. And by faith they became the sons of God.
150th verse?
I got started again too soon. Start with the 47th verse on page 767. And how can a man attain unto faith, save he shall have hope? That's the 46th verse. And what shall it be shall he hope for? By saying to you, they shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection to be raised to eternal life, and this because of your faith in him according to the promise. Wherefore, if a man have faith, he must needs have hope. For without hope there cannot be any, without faith there cannot be any hope. And again I say unto you that he cannot have faith and hope save if meek and lowly in heart. If so his faith and hope are vain, for nothing is acceptable before God save to be meek and lowly of heart. If a man be meek and lowly of heart and confess by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. And if he have not charity, he is nothing. Therefore he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long, is kind, envieth not, is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. And here again, that think business, think no evil. And rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing. For charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto this charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail, but charity is a pure love of Christ. And most of Christianity today have changed that word charity into just love, which is fine, because that said, the charity is a pure love of Christ. Not just love, but the pure love of Christ. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is greatest of all. For all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and endureth forever. And whosoever found possessing it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray to the Father with all energy of your heart, that you may be filled with this love which he bestowed upon you for true followers of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you may become the sons of God, and that when he shall appear, he shall be like unto him, and we shall see him as he is, and we may have this hope that we may be purified even as he is pure. In Galatians, the 6th chapter, Paul here lays out the fruits of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. Starting at the 17th verse, maybe 16th. I say unto you, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not be filled with the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth after against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things which ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornications, uncleanness, lasciviousness, and again that's this lusting after a woman, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit, and that is singular, one fruit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they which are Christ have crucified the flesh and with the afflictions and the lusts. For if we live by the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, or envying one another. I think Paul here pretty much laid out the results of our thinking. And I emphasized the fact that it was just one fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. You take any one of those out and you really messed it up. You really messed yourself up if you just any one of those things out of our lives. And so it's just like let's take a peach. It's got the skin, it's got the flesh, it's got the seed. It's just one peach, but it's made up of parts. And so it is that the love of Christ has made up of parts. It takes all of them to be a whole love of Christ. So let us strive with all of our energy. You know, one time I've been asked, well, what am I supposed to do to improve myself? I can only speak for myself. I know that I can increase my energy, my strength. I don't have much energy left, but I can increase my efforts to accomplish what God will give to me to do. I can refuse. I'm not saying I do, but I can refuse to let evil enter into my life. I can only strive with what energy God gives me to do what He asks me to do. And perhaps you might say that this effort this morning is one of the easiest things. But no, it's not the easiest thing I can do. It takes me a long time to get up my backbone and to move forward to do what God would have me to do and to say. But the promise is great. The reward that He has put out there in front of us is not just a temptation. It's a reward. It's a glory. We sang a while ago, revive us again. And that's what we're asking God to do. To revive us again. To help us to glorify God. And not to seek glory for myself. For I know that, and I've said this many times, that I'm here this morning, as I have for 88 years now, because God granted it, not because of anything I did. I'm here because God granted it. And so we are all here by the will of God. And we can only give unto Him what He's asked of us, our love for all mankind, and His Father in heaven with all of our heart, might, mind, and strength.